the sickest news ever. I heard the rumblings just like, yo, Nico has a cool program. It's going to be really sick. And then you send over the photos and the official news. How cool is that?
Thanks, dude. Yeah. I mean, this is something that I'm super passionate about and proud of. So I'm pumped, man. I'm stoked to be able to do it.
Good. The biggest question, though, why? Why would you take on such a gnarly project, making your own bike or designing your own frame, I guess, and taking it to the World Cup? Like, that seems like a lot of work.
Yeah, but I mean, I just love it. Like, the whole idea of being able to do both the bike and the team exactly how I want to, with no constraining parameters from a brand or a team manager. Sure, it's on me now, but I can do it exactly how I want. And I don't know, it just gets me really excited. I think it's something that I'm passionate about. Like, I'm really into like the tech side of the bikes and the bike design. So to be able to do it myself, and like, I do the 2D design and the kinematic and send it to the frame builder to get made. Frank's making them. And I don't have to like convince the brand that it's a good idea, or that will this be able to be sold, or will it be good for marketing? Like, none of those are concerns. So I have the freedom to do it how I want to, which is, I guess that's why, to answer your question.
That's so cool. Okay, you mentioned, all right, you do the design, Frank builds it. You said Frank chooses the tube sets and kind of the materials and things like that.
Yeah, I leaned on him. I mean, he's got so much experience. Frank, he built the race bikes for Yeti back in the 90s, like with Rockwell and Julie Furtado and all, when like, and even Tomac when he was riding for them. So he's got a ton of experience like fabricating bikes and like race bikes too. I mean, it's a long time ago. But then he did all the Sinister bikes, he did the FTW bikes, he did the Spooky bikes. So he's got experience, like, and he now fixes a lot of vintage bikes that break. Is a big part of his business. Like, somebody has an old bike that they love, don't want to get rid of it, and it's cracked, he'll fix it. So he works with the metal so much that, like, more than a lot of like younger engineers that I've talked to who can't give me a straight answer on like this might work, this might not, it's hard to do a simulation on it. Like, Frank's like, this is the tubes that we're going to use, this is what's suitable for downhill, this is going to work. And he was spot on, dude. It worked great. So, dude,
that's freaking sick. I mean, I know you've been doing this for a long time, and like, it seems like you work pretty closely with Fox and stuff. Like, how did you know how to design the kinematics and the suspension? Like, how do you learn how to do that? And
yeah, I guess just like over the years riding for different brands, I like learned what I liked and what I didn't like. I owe a lot to Ben Walker. When I was riding for Scott, he taught me a ton about it. And then, like, I don't think our race bike was very good that era, Scott Gambler. And I didn't really know anything to know why. I just wasn't getting comfortable with it. And we did a lot to try to make the bike better, like changing the leverage ratio, doing what we could with links and stuff like that. There wasn't a lot we could do, but it just taught me what things worked and what didn't. And then that kind of progressed over every team I raced for, and I took more of an interest in it. And like, I always read the bike reviews and see what like the new stuff is that comes out. And I don't know, I just thought like, they have a lot of things that they have to do to be able to sell the bike, or it fits in their line, and make something that people will like, whereas like, I just need to like it myself. So it's a little bit easier to hit that target.
Yeah.
But I guess I downloaded Linkage, which is like a pretty basic 2D modeling program where you can do like kinematics of the bike. It's really easy to use, especially for me. I'm not an engineer. I don't have experience with engineering. So you just drag the points around and it gives you the output of your kinematic. And I wouldn't say it's like completely accurate, but it can prove a theory. And like, if the kinematic that you want on Linkage works, then it might not be like point for point the same in CAD, but you can make that happen in CAD, if that makes sense. Like, it's more accurate CAD. So if your theory is good in linkage, you may have to adjust some things, but it's possible. So I just started playing with linkage, and like doing it myself was so much better because I just stay up all night, just dragging the pivot points around, just clicking on the mouse and getting it like exactly where I want. And like, I could just try it for hours until I see what did what. And like a big thing I learned is that like everything's a compromise with the, like I joked that I thought it was going to be like ordering a cheeseburger. Like I was going to say, I want this, this, and this, but not that. But mm-hmm. it's just not really the way that it works in reality. Like if you want to have a more rearward axle path, you're going to have more pedal kick. If you want to have higher pivot, it's going to stiffen under braking. So it's like a trade-off to everything. And you could make a bike that's like well-balanced and does everything pretty neutrally and is predictable, or you can make something that has like one superpower in one situation, but then you pay for it in other situations. So I guess I learned like trying different stuff over the past couple of years with different teams, and then just kind of got into it and went down this path. I was inspired a lot by Isaac Lifeson, who mm-hmm. makes his, yeah. he like welds them himself. He's way more of a man than me and he races them. And like, he taught me how to use the linkage thing. Like he was staying over at my house. We were doing some trail work at Canoga, and he was there for a couple of weeks, and he like showed me how to use linkage. I downloaded it, and he was super cool with like, I would call him and send him the file and be like, hey, what do you think? Hey, what do you think? Okay, I changed this. And he didn't do anything for me. Like he would always just say like, oh, I think you should maybe make this a little different. And then I had to figure out how to do it. So learned a ton from him, but just seeing him race the bikes that he made, and they like, he was able to race super fast, beat me a bunch on his homemade bikes, and they weren't falling apart. So I was like, well, I mean, it seems far-fetched, but if this dude's doing it and it's possible, then like it could definitely work. So took some inspiration from that. And like I said, I can't weld, and Isaac figured out how to do it. Like he just bought the gear and like started welding, and could weld like mild steel and everything. So it's possible, but I just figured like if I want to do it and have like a really good finished product, get in touch with Frank. He's the guy. He knows how to do it. He's got experience, and he was stoked to work on it. So that's kind of how I got here.
Dude, that's so cool. Can you give us any insight into like the curves and ratios and geo and all that stuff? Is it, and you know, you said you've got a regular kind of FSR horse thing and a high pivot one that you're going to test between to figure out which one you want.
Yeah. I have two frames right now. And I went with like the 4-bar horse link rocker because it was like the simplest way to get what I wanted out of the bike. And it's super common. Like most people are probably going to look at this and say, oh, wow, horse link 4-bar rocker bike. Like never seen one of those before.
Looks like a blank, right? Yeah.
Right. So I think like if you take into consideration like the chain force and the braking force, it is the simplest way. Like a single pivot is more simple, but like when you have like the force of braking and force of pedaling, this is like the simplest way to achieve a really good bike, considering all that. And so, yeah, I've got a high pivot version, and my high pivot's not too high. Like, honestly, it's like as low of a high pivot as I've seen, because I've ridden, like I tested other bikes, and there's some nice things about the high pivot, but there's also a lot of trade-offs, and I wanted to make something neutral, like to, mm-hmm. to my point of you have two options. Like I wanted to make something that was predictable and balanced and suited to my, you know, geometry for me, custom frame for my size and everything. So, I've got these two bikes. I try to keep them both as similar as possible. Of course, like you move the pivot up, some things are going to change, but I was able to like do a pretty good apples to apples comparison with the two bikes. I got them to be right about 30% progressive from like 3.3 to 2.3. My low pivot bike has like a axle path that comes forward 15 mil at bottom out. So it's fairly forward. Like I was trying to balance axle path with pedal kick and try to get in a reasonable range. And it has maybe a little bit higher pedal kick to have a little to more rearward axle path, but been using it with when you put the O chain on it, it like takes care of all that. So it feels really smooth that way. And I personally like the anti-rise to be low. Like, I feel like for World Cup tracks, the braking is something that might be overlooked on a lot of bikes. And, you know, you hear people say like a good rider can just brake really hard in one spot and you get more downforce with higher anti-rise. And I guess what it's doing is it's like, it's low, putting energy into the spring, and that makes the bike feel like it's stiffer. So like, it feels like the rear end gets harsh when you're braking. And these World Cup tracks are so steep, and even good riders, like you very rarely your brakes are open. Like you're slightly you're just braking harder or less, but you're like trail braking a lot. So I don't know. And I'm not an engineer, and I'm not saying that this is right for everyone, but I like have felt more comfortable on bikes that have a lower anti-rise. It makes it feel more active as you are kind of braking. So that was something that I could get out of this 4-bar horse length design. And so my anti-rise is around like 50% on the low pivot bike and 60 on the higher pivot bike. And everything else is pretty much the same. Like geometry on downhill bikes isn't crazy these days. 63 degree head angle, 345 bottom bracket height. Both of them have a mixed wheel size, which I don't think I don't think there's much downside to that for World Cup tracks, these steeper tracks. Like, you're not losing rollover, but you are gaining some clearance, which is cool. Like, both on, say, like steep stuff, for sure you get the clearance, but maybe what's overlooked is like Liaogang, this motorway section where you think like 29ers are going to be rolling. Well, you can get way lower and scrub these jumps way better with a smaller rear wheel. So I think you can win a little bit of time there. So that's why I went with that. And then my chain stays 455 on the low pivot and 450 on the high pivot. So that at sag, they're kind of at the same spot. Mm-hmm. Just to make it like an apples to apples comparison. Reach for me, I put it at 475, which I've been messing with I've been riding the 40 mil stem, which I think really works nice with the new offset of the crowns. Like the 40 is now 52. And I think a shorter stem plays better with that. It feels like more natural to me. So when I, now that I'm on the 40 stem, I think I might go a couple mil longer on my reach on the next bike. But yeah, that's pretty much the main geometry numbers and kinematic stuff.
I'm looking at. Is Fox helping with any kind of shock tune or things like that? Like, did you talk to them while you're making this?
Yeah, for sure. Like I went into the pit with Jordy and like busted out my laptop and showed him what I had going on, and he thought it looked good. Like, to me, like, I'm not trying to do anything crazy with the leverage ratio. Like, I want it to be as straight of a line as possible, like as consistent of a gradient that it progresses on, because I feel like you can feel better where you are in the travel when you push into the bike with your feet than if the leverage curve has like a hook in it or tapers off at the end. And some people would say that, like, as the spring is getting stiffer, like, you want the leverage ratio to taper off so it kind of pairs. And maybe for like a average rider that would be good, but for racing and for like a really fast rider, I just bottom out too easily, or like will ride too low in the travel. So I like the support at the end stroke, and just like as consistent of as a line as possible is predictable to me, and you can feel where you are. And Fox agreed. Like, they were like, this is good. It's much more easy to tune the shocks when it's like that, when like the bike is pushing the shock really consistently. Like, we can make the adjustment with a shock tune or a click, or just adjustment to the shock is much easier to do with that. So they were stoked about it. They thought it looked good. And then Fox has a place here in Asheville, which is only 20 minutes from my house. So I showed him my kinematic, went over there with like 4 shocks that I had from this year. And my shock is a 250 by 75. It's like a standard downhill shock. I didn't want to try to do anything outside the box. So they put they suggested like 4 tunes, and I got them all put in the shocks. It was super handy. Dropped them all off, went back 2 days later and picked them up, and got to ride them all on my bike. So I wouldn't say they're anything that's like special to my bike, but they were like, these are the tunes that we've, the latest ones we've developed that I think will work on your bike. And they did. Yeah, they felt awesome.
Cool. Is there a particular tune you're going to settle on, or is it kind of a track-based thing that like this tune will work better at Val de Sol, this will work better at Leo Gang or something like that?
Maybe a little bit. But honestly, I felt in the past that like I like to do the testing preseason, get my bike within like a working range, and then kind of just ride it after that. Like there's a point when like thinking too much and going too deep with the testing is like counterproductive, and I've been there before. And there's a time for it though, and the off season is the time for it. So I think I'll probably like continue to test this and hopefully get Fox to bring their data system and run it on the bike, and yeah, just get it in that range. And then hopefully, I mean, even the way that like Leo Gang is pretty steep and gnarly now too, like it's yeah. not that far off. So get it to where I can just make small adjustments depending on the track.
Cool. Was bike weight a consideration, or at least frame weight with this?
I wouldn't say it was like up on my priority list. And to be honest, I was a little bit nervous that it might come back being either super heavy or brake. I was like kind of afraid because Frank, like some of his bikes that he used to make were army tanks. But I think that was by design, like the layout and a lot of bikes in that era were.
Sure.
So, yeah, dude, this bike with inserts front and rear FTDs is 38 pounds. So the low pivot one.
Dang, really?
I haven't put the high pivot one on the scale, but it's got to be at least a pound or pound and a half more with all this stuff. So yeah. it came back like, dude, right in there. And we didn't try to optimize the weight at all. Like I wanted to spend as little, like I'm spending my own money to make these bikes. So I was like, before we make it work, like we're not going to make it pretty before we make it work as well as it can or optimize it for weight. Like let's make it so it's bulletproof. We can prove the theory. And then once I ride these two bikes, decide what I liked about each one, what direction I want to go, we'll refine it and make it a more finished looking product. But it could be lighter than it is. It's like, it wasn't even on these first ones a consideration, but I think that the design that I chose inherently is pretty efficient use of material. There's no like shock tunnels or like big CNC parts that are heavy. So it's just a lighter weight design.
Yeah, cool. And so is that the plan then? You're going to work with these two mules, we'll just call them mules, and then decide on which one and have a more refined one for race season?
Yeah, that's the plan.
Okay.
And it might not even be exactly one of these two. It might be like, let's go further. Let's make the high pivot even higher. Let's do something that like, can we with the O-chain make the low pivot have a more rear, like optimized for the O-chain? So there's a few different strategies that I can go for. And I've just been riding them, taking times on every run. I even had another local ride. We got a lot of fast dudes around here jump on my bike and do a test day for me to get another opinion on it. So I'm just like taking all the data down, and I have no like emotion attached to it. I just want to ride the fastest one.
Yeah, that's cool. Are you going to duct tape water bottles to the frame during testing at all?
I think I got to the bottom of that already. Yeah, it's funny. Water is just like an easy thing to measure. So I tried to use that as like a solid, weight distribution.
Yeah. Awesome. What are some of the hurdles with a program like this where, you know, it's obviously your frame sponsor's changed up, you're on Maxxis tires, it looks like, and Reserve wheels and some other different things. Were people into it? Did you have to sell them on it? Like, was it tough to get going?
Honestly, no. Like, I think it's unique enough that I wasn't, say I had a frame sponsor, which would make up a big part of the budget. And I went to these sponsors and was like, hey, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to ride X bike and do all these races. It's like, cool. Like, we kind of expect you to do that. And it seems like a normal thing to do. But doing this and making my own frame, a lot of the sponsors found to be unique and interesting. And it would create more of a buzz, and I would probably get more media coverage at the races. And a large part of what I pitched to the sponsors is my brother is going to be doing a video series documenting the progress, the start to finish from a concept to the first race and how that went. And that media coverage, like, as much as I hate it sometimes that it's like part of the sport, it's yeah. like those deliverables are what sponsors find like a quantifiable value for. So being able to say like, hey, I'm going to deliver you guys a Dropbox link with photos and video clips after each event. And we're going to post these videos every couple weeks showing the progress of the bike. And I didn't go through all the trouble to make my own bike to put shitty parts on it. Like, I built it exactly the way I wanted to. And I think that speaks highly to all the brands that I'm working with. So I actually found it to be easier than expected. I was definitely nervous at first to, I had to commit to this pretty early and to pick up the phone and like that was the thing. Like, I learned just calling people and being able to talk to them and they could hear my excitement. It went actually super smoothly. So I'm stoked.
Yeah, that's cool. We're stoked too. What's the first race we'll see you on the bike?
So I'm going to do the Costa Rica Open in February.
Yeah, cool.
And it's cool. This year is back to back with the Pan American Championship at the same venue. So I'm going to be racing the Costa Rica Open, the Pan Am, 2 weeks in a row. And it works out great because it's like easy for me to travel down there. It's shorter flight than to go to California, do two big races, and the track's good. They're going to probably change it between the two weekends, but that'll be good. And then I'll do the first Downhill Southeast over here the last week in February, and then the Tennessee National in March. So I'll get like four solid chances to race the bike, which is maybe a little bit more than necessary, but like, with a new program like this, I want to try to just get it. You learn so much by racing, so I want to get it on the racetrack.
Yeah, cool. Ooh, well, I think the whole internet's going to be stoked on this one, and wish you the best for the year.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'm into it, and if I saw somebody else doing this, I'd be glued to watching it. I find it really interesting, so I'm just proud to be able to do it, and yeah. People are interested in racing and tech. Those are like my two favorite things. This is a good blend of it.
Dude, awesome. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.